Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Nearly 1 year ago, Sacramento County announced plans to build a village of tiny homes for unhoused residents. The goal was to provide temporary housing and services to stabilize residents and ultimately help them transition to permanent housing. The site was expected to open as early as last summer. But today, it remains closed, and the $7 million project faces mounting delays, as well as being $500,000 over budget, all as unhoused residents remain camped outside waiting for it to open. We'll get an update from CAP Radio reporter Chris Nichols, whose focus is housing and homelessness, on why this tiny home village is taking so long. Also, during the first year of the pandemic, the Sacramento region received nearly $200 million in state funds to address homelessness. That was triple the amount it received 2 years earlier. That's all according to a new state report. We'll talk about where all that money went and the growing calls for more transparency and accountability in homelessness spending. Chris, thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Vicky, it's great to be here in studio. Thank you.
So let's just start off with that tiny homes project in South Sacramento. Give us some background on the project. When was it first proposed? How is it supposed to address homelessness in the county?
Right. There are a lot of questions about the project. Sacramento County announced plans for this last April, so about a year ago, and it's the county's first attempt to open a sanctioned outdoor homeless encampment instead of a traditional indoor shelter. And they're calling this their safe stay community. And officials think it could be a model for future shelters around the county. I think it's important to note that this is a project that follows years of criticism from advocates and elected leaders in the city of Sacramento who say the county government hasn't done enough to confront the region's homelessness crisis. And on the question of how this project would help South Sacramento, the county says that once the site does eventually open, they plan to offer shelter to unhoused residents who live in the surrounding area. And as you mentioned, Vicky, there are homeless camps right outside the property at Florin and Power End Roads.
What will the site look like when it's open, and what kind of services will be provided?
Once it opens, it will include restrooms, showers, a dining area, a 24/7 security station to check people in and out. Staff will be on site. They'll be in a trailer on the property. They'll provide case management and also on-site health assessments. Those will help refer residents to outside services such as drug or mental health treatment. The 100 tiny homes that will be used as shelter, those are already on the property. There are rows and rows of these aluminum shed-sized homes, and they've been sitting there since last summer.
Yeah, and you have people that are sleeping outside waiting for that tiny home village to open. So these homes, they're ready to go. You can see them from the street. What is taking the county so long to open the other parts of the project?
Well, county officials say several changes that were out of their control have slowed things down. For one, the contractor they hired, CityNet, proposed design changes to the initial plans. The county says it also experienced delays in receiving needed construction materials. That led to multiple contractors backing out of work. Also, county spokesperson Jana Haynes says the tiny homes can't open until electrical work is completed at the site. That will provide the homes with heat and cooling, which is a project requirement, something the county board of supervisors wanted to see for the, you know, the cold winters and very warm summers. I was on a tour of the site last month, and Haynes told me that permits have yet to be issued for that site work for the permanent water, sewer, and electrical lines.
It's certainly frustrating. It's frustrating for people that want to move into this community. It's frustrating for the residents and businesses around this area that we're hoping for some relief very quickly. And it's frustrating for us knowing that there are people that need the services that are going to be offered here and they're not ready yet. But we've talked about several times that success is the ultimate goal and not necessarily speed. We need to make sure that we can bring people in successfully, transition them off the streets and meet their basic needs before moving them out into a stable situation. And that, unfortunately, is not an easy process, and it doesn't happen overnight. And the things that we're going to be offering here can't just, you know, a magic wand can't bring them here.
As we all know, when it comes to development and construction, more time typically means more added expenses. How much have these delays added to the project's cost?
Well, we don't know all of the added expenses yet, but we do know that the county will be paying approximately $500,000 more than it expected for security costs at the site, according to Haynes. She said that's because it's been paying a private security firm for much longer than anticipated to essentially guard the rows of empty homes while officials deal with the delays that we just discussed. And initially, when the project was approved last June, the County Board of Supervisors agreed to spend $7.6 million to build and then operate the site.
Given, Chris, that there's been a greater call for accountability on homelessness spending, especially with the large sums of money that are being spent locally and statewide, yet this crisis is just getting worse and human beings are at the core of this. What did Haynes have to say about people who want to see these dollars spent effectively?
Well, she acknowledged that there is a lot at stake with this project. As we talked about earlier, this is the county's first sanctioned homeless encampment. It was not easy to get approved. There was a lot of community pushback. And the county wants to make sure this site helps people get off the street and connected to housing and doesn't become a magnet for bringing more illegal camps to the surrounding area. Here is what Haynes said when I asked her about balancing that need to move quickly with the need to get things right.
The answers are not easy, they're not cheap, and unfortunately delays are part of the experience, particularly of standing up a brand new project like this. We've never done this. A lot of the delays were completely unforeseen and unplanned for, and we're just kind of rolling with it as we can and working past the challenges that we've seen, and we are incurring additional costs because of those delays. Again, we think that everything that has happened is going to ultimately lead to a more successful facility. But again, it's frustrating. The delays are frustrating. The increased costs are frustrating. But unfortunately for people on the outside looking in, there is so much work happening that they cannot see, that takes time, that costs money, that they don't even know is happening.
Literally on the outside looking in. I mean, we mentioned that there are homeless camps right outside of this site and really across South Sacramento. You interviewed some people who are unhoused. What did they tell you?
Well, over the past year, I've spoken with a few unhoused people about it. Some at times have camped right outside the project's fence because they thought they could be first in line to gain housing there. The county says they will draw from the immediate surrounding area. Recently, I spoke with a man named Andy Schroeder. He is 47 and has recently been spending the night in his sleeping bag in a parking lot just yards from the site. Here's part of my conversation with him about the tiny homes.
Do you think this would make a big difference in your life?
Yeah, it would. I think it would make it, it'd be nice.
How so?
Give me some structure, some place of purpose.
Some structure?
Yeah, some purpose.
Schroeder told me that he's been without a permanent home for more than a decade, and he says people often show up near the site. They want to know when it will it'll open, and he told me he has that same question.
Before we move to the next topic, how does the county's model, which is a first for the county, compare with the city of Sacramento's sanctioned encampments?
Well, over the past couple of years, the city has opened a few sanctioned encampments of its own, what it calls its safe ground sites. And these have allowed people to either camp in tents or to live in their vehicle. They had one that operated near Southside Park and another at Miller Park. But county officials have rejected that model, saying tents don't provide enough security. They've said that they will only open sites with hard-sided structures and with a greater focus on sanitation and security. The county says that its first project in South Sacramento will not be its last. Later this summer, the county plans to open 45 more tiny homes, or what they call sleeping cabins, on East Parkway near Highway 99.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Chris Nichols, who covers housing and homelessness for Cap Radio. So switching gears, Chris, you also wrote about Governor Newsom's, the administration essentially tripling the amount of money it sent to the Sacramento region to address homelessness. What did you learn about that?
Well, during the first year of the pandemic, the Sacramento region was awarded nearly $200 million in state funds for homeless and housing services. And that was way up from the $65 million it received just 2 years earlier. That's all according to a state report presented to the legislature late last month.
That is just a huge increase in funding, and it took place at the same time the region's unhoused population hit a record high of more than 9,000 people, I believe nearly 9,300 people, and that is considered a conservative estimate at that because it's a point in time count. So what does this say about how that money was used?
Well, local officials say that this massive jump in funding, that it reflects the state's commitment to solving Sacramento's problem. Lisa Bates heads the planning body Sacramento Steps Forward. She says the lack of progress in reducing homelessness during this period doesn't mean the new money was wasted. Much of it was set aside for future homeless housing projects.
I would say it's a timing issue, you know, when we actually receive the funding and when we can get it implemented and on the ground. It takes a while to ramp up the siting and location of shelters and the provision of sheltering services. Definitely, we know that the development of housing takes time.
The state report shows that some of the new money was used to buy and then convert local motels into permanent homeless housing through the Newsom administration's Home Key initiative. And those conversions take place relatively quickly, but local officials acknowledged it will be years before some of the other affordable housing projects are completed.
So in the meantime, what did local taxpayer and business groups say about this increase in homelessness funding?
Well, they said that they understand why the state provided more money, that it makes sense given how the local homelessness crisis has expanded. But some, like Amanda Blackwood, who heads the Sacramento Metro Chamber of Commerce, also said that local agencies must do better at explaining what's being accomplished with those dollars.
I think a call for added transparency is a really good thing. And if there's nothing wrong with that, you know, when you are receiving dollars, and you need to show what you did with it.
Blackwood, for example, called for the Sacramento region to create an easily accessible online dashboard, one that shows how many people are being housed and how much it's costing per unit.
Still much more for you to follow, Chris.
That's right. Thanks, Vicki.
Thank you, Chris. That is Cap Radio's Chris Nichols. Up next, we'll meet a filmmaker who overcame the odds of tracing her Armenian roots in what is now modern-day Turkey, culminating in a documentary you can see on KVIE about her family's exodus from the Armenian genocide. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.